Good morning, the West Coast. Good afternoon, the East Coast. Good evening, the Middle East. Today is Monday, July 28, 2014. My name is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. This is the show that we're going to talk about the world. This is the show we're going to face the questions that are most impossible to face. And we have to face them with the candid truth and understanding that there is a world out there and we are responsible for it. And the carelessness that's been treated in this world is overcoming all of us. And we have to just forget. And what we have to do is to make sure that we have a real, real good understanding that there is a world and we are a part of it. So the global crisis that we are facing, I'm in Israel and the Middle East in the middle of a war that doesn't seem to see the, for some reason, there is a holiday, a Muslim holiday, that none of them care to respect, and whatever effort that Israel wanted to give to the humanitarian help, to help the people there to have a shelter, and to the United Nations to do their job, we realized they didn't. Today we have on the show a very important friend of mine, a very great lady. Her name is Helen Abramson, and she's calling from New York City. Actually, we are calling her. Helen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly. It's really a pleasure to have a chance to speak to always to you, but also to the people who are listening.
That's amazing, because it's about time they hear you, because you're so wonderful and nobody realized how much work and effort you put to understand the issue that nobody understands in this conflict. The world really is going crazy and nobody understands where what direction to take. So what's your perspective? I know that you told me about the latest news that I really dread to hear, but what do you think about is happening from your perspective, Helen?
Well, from my perspective, I see the media pretty much fueling a global anti-Semitism. You know, the fact is that this conflict is almost 10 years old, not 3 weeks old, because Israel didn't respond with a military might for the first 10,000 missiles. They just ignored the siege from Gaza. Everybody talks about the siege of Gaza. There was never a siege. Now when Israel's forced to shoot back and we have, you know, these civilian deaths in Gaza, the media is paying attention. But they're ignoring the real reason for all of this. Just yesterday morning, Hamas spokesperson Talad Mishaal was on one of the weekly news magazines. And he was very clear. He said, there will be no recognition of Israel, regardless of the cost to the Palestinians. I think this is some sort of insanity that the world is not getting at this point. Nor is anyone asking why Hamas leaders are dictating a war, sitting in cushy hotels from Lebanon and other places.
And Qatar. And, you know, the idea about recognizing the Jewish state is the idea that we have all to face, because even Abu Mazen, you know, the leader of the Palestinian people, did not recognize the Jewish state. So it's not only an issue of Hamas. The Palestinian people, as they say, their leaders, do not want to recognize the Jewish state. And I remember Mubarak, you know, when he used to be the president of Egypt. He said that he would not recognize the Jewish state, too. You know, the Arab world have a problem with that. And it's probably it's a religious part of it. And I think that we all have to come to realize that this is a religious war, because if you have a problem with my identity as a Jewish people, of course, it's a religious war. I don't think that it's territory. And every time they're talking about occupation, I always ask the question, if Palestine is occupied, what about that part of Jordan that's been occupied by the Jordanian? Is it a part of it too? You know, do they want that side of the game? It's amazing. Now, I know that we are trying to talk back to the people of the world and try to explain, but the anti-Semitism been rising in France, you know, very highly, and it's really hard to understand what's going on there. But what do you think is happening in New York? What is New York is feeling the same? I hope not.
Quite frankly, today is maybe a good day. There's a demonstration at the UN as we speak, in fact. But there's been a massive global display of anti-Semitism that stretches from Paris, where they were burning Jewish businesses last week, to Belgium, to the streets of Chicago. Just a week ago, 10,000 people showed up to demonstrate against Israel. Nobody hits the streets for some 100,000 dead Syrians or the women of the Muslim world, where clerics recently declared that female genital mutilation is a necessary religious thing. Activists are not sending flotillas for the suffering in Sudan or Nigeria. The Pope doesn't care that Christians are being slaughtered, indeed crucified this past weekend by Muslim militias. I don't know where the UN or the media coverage is when, for example, Taliban monks self-immolate to garner attention. If someone dies in a conflict because of Israel or a Jew, everyone on the planet is deserving justice, whether or not they were murdered by their own people. Which brings us to even this morning's news. Gaza shot several missiles. One of them landed on a hospital. And Israel is clear that they did not shoot that missile at the, you know, it was not a return fire. They're killing their own people and using Israel as a scapegoat for that. We've been a scapegoat throughout our history. So, you know, when the UN scrambled last week to accuse Israel of possible war crimes, Europe sat it out. You know, they abstained. And I think maybe that reflects their return to a 1930s mentality, only the U.S. objected. So Jews around the world have a reason to unite, perhaps, because we do have a reason to be afraid for the first time in 50 or 60 years.
Well, you shouldn't be afraid, and it shouldn't be like that, because right now you have the state of Israel, and the fact that Hamas, a terrorist organization, is threatening the well-being of Israel, it doesn't threaten the Israel per se. But let's say it clear, Israel has a very strong military. Israel is strong, and the fact that the United Nations start with this argument of war crime, it's really ludicrous, and not just ludicrous, it's against, you know, something that they UNRWA did. We just caught United Nations organization in Gaza holding missile, in, you know, like a collaboration with a terrorist organization they are. And what they did, not just they gave it up to the international, organization, they gave back Hamas those missiles. So it's like they caught hot, you know, on the job, let's say, doing a criminal act against humanity. You know, this is a war crime to give a missile to a terrorist organization to shoot on 7 million people. United Nations, if it will survive this round, it will be really, really a miracle for them, because they need to reorganize. Israel has such a good case now to abolish that organization by demonstration that they are using their camp, their organization, their money to fund terrorism, which put them an outlaw. So Israel has a case to go to the Geneva Convention. Israel has a case to go to the International Court of Justice, and she's going to win because we caught them, you know, in action. Nothing they can claim. They can claim us, we did or not. The fact of the matter, we caught them, and they're supposed to be the goody two shoes of the universe, something that they definitely are not. Tell me, Ellen, it's really incredible, because I feel that the Jewish people are really feeling this very strongly and understand the challenge that Israel has. But I want to assure you, Israeli people are really strong. The Jewish people is united, something
that happens all the time when we have challenges like this, but you have to know that we stand together, and it's the first time that we all feel united. We are really united together to push back those goons and to outlaw the Hamas, and if it will take also, you know, the Palestinian people, it will be excellent. The only problem I've got at this point, that we asked all the refugees to move out, to be moved to hospitals in Egypt. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't heard about the hospitals in Egypt. I know that Egypt has been very reluctant. You know, even when you signed the treaty with Egypt to give back Sinai, they wanted to give back Gaza, and they did not want to have any part of Gaza. So I think that's
right.
Very interesting that they would now agree.
I'm sorry. We're trying. Listen, we're all excited about this news, and it's also clear that this something has to end up soon. And this operation, that it's a soft hand, no gloves, you know, be careful operation, will move, because we're going to remove all those, you know, people out of danger, and we're going to face Hamas and, you know, do our, you know, what needs to be done to eliminate it. And but the worst scenario is that Iran called, you know, representative of the Iranian government call upon the Egyptian government to tell them that once the Palestinians that are going to be evacuated to Egypt are going to be in hospital, Iran is willing to put them in their own hospitals, which makes me really suggest that they're trying to move out the Palestinian people to Iran. Is that something that you would imagine? You know, like we need to free those Palestinian people from the goons that they are hold. I feel like this is an exodus for those Palestinian people, that they are stuck. They're really stuck between those people who abuse them, take their children, use them, and then now they want to send them to Iran. God forbid. We need to help them out. The only thing, you know.
I think you're actually getting to something that is incredibly important for Americans, that they really don't understand, and not to take away from the current events, but Iran is one of the sponsors of Hamas, and I say Hamas, not the Arab Palestinians,
right?
But Hamas, and Iran is watching very, very closely, and I'm afraid that they see a weak and rudderless America, unwilling for whatever reason to support our allies. The U.S. is not even bothering to bark, much less to bite at these things. And I think it's a real global question for the United States. What role are they going to play? And they keep pulling in other people or other countries into this war of ideology that exists, you know, from the Muslim to the Jew. It's crazy. I think that there's a
let's,
lot.
Let's not forget that if you tell the Iranian, yes, you can take those hospital, it means that they're opening a gate to Gaza, to the Iranian, something that Israel needs to completely object and be aware of. And not just this, who wants to send anybody to treatment for Iran? It's like how advanced they are. Let's keep them. Take care of them. Those people need to have God sometimes, you know, in this future to help them, because it's not funny anymore. But Hamas needs to go. They need to dismantle their arms. We need to, you know, to have Security Council Chapter 7 announcement that they need to dismantle their arms. That's a definitely must on the book. Let's go to a break right now. And we are back. Ellen Abramson, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Tell me, so the whole situation was caused, you know, by we really gave them all we could to create the nation. What happened, you think?
Look, the Israelis extracted every Jew from Gaza in 2005. They left behind a hugely successful greenhouse business that supplied half of Europe with produce and flowers. Instead of using the greenhouses to springboard an economic infrastructure in Gaza, the Arabs decided to burn the greenhouses. And obviously, they subsequently complained to the UN about the poverty. In the wake of the Israeli withdrawal, they also used every porous border for terror aimed at Israel. The sea was open, and this is something they keep complaining about, but the sea was open to Gaza, but they didn't build a deep water port that could have been a basis for trade. Instead, and I think not too many people remember this, a terrorist used the cover of night to come by boat and bomb the Savoy Hotel in Tel Aviv. There's a very real reason that Gaza was isolated and that they've chosen this path. And nobody talks about why the ordinary Gazans suffer. But they really unwittingly or intentionally, they voted for this government, and this is what they've brought upon themselves. And it's very unfortunate. But I think the media needs to start covering the intent and the purpose, and then we would have a better handle on this end.
I know. We are hoping that the Israeli and the Palestinian people will enjoy their freedom to be friends and not be obstructed by those that decide to monitor, control, and make them part of their mission to destroy Israel. We actually get along very well with Palestinians. We meet them in, many things. I met some in the hospital, taking care of their kids. I took care of my kid. We were friendly. We hug each other. We talk. They are normal people. We are normal people. This is the world. Wake up, world. We are not going to have it anymore. We want some peace of mind to produce, to learn, to love, to have fun. It's about time. It's about time, guys. Thank you so much, Ellen, for coming with us, and let's go to a break.
You're more than welcome. Blessings to you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Always a joy. Always a joy.
All right, so I'm trying to get celebrity reactions to what's going on with the Palestinians and Israelis right now.
Let me just tell you, if New Jersey were firing rockets into New York, we would wipe them out. I am so bored. We heard they were digging tunnels from New Jersey to New York. We would get rid of Jersey. So I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, we'll do a partial truce. And Palestinians, you cannot throw rockets and expect people not to defend themselves.
What about the civilian casualty rate?
Then don't put your goddamn things in private homes. I'm sorry. Don't you dare put weapon stashes in private homes, and then we say get out. Of course, we're going to do it.
The response normally is where are the civilians supposed to go?
I don't care. They started it. You're all insane. They started it. What are you all saying? They started it. The Israelis did not throw their... For months this has been going on.
How do you resolve
it? What are you supposed to do?
How do you resolve it?
How do I know? Because I have been over there. That's how I know. And I wish the world would know. And BBC should be ashamed of themselves. And CNN should be ashamed of themselves. And everybody, stop it already.
You know, like Dwight Howard tweeted, "Free Palestine, take it back." Selena Gomez tweeted a pro-Gaza.
Oh, Selena Gomez. Oh, yeah, that college grad.
All right, John, thank you.
John, thank you so much.
Well, if Selena said that.
Did Rihanna have to take it back?
Tell her, let's see if she can spell Palestinian.
I'll ask her right now.
We love you, John.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
And that was John Rivers. The wonderful lady that spoke the truth, this impossible truth that we all have to face. And now we have online Thomas Shield, one of the best people in the world to talk about how conflict can turn into a challenge and then become an opportunity. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me, Orly.
I'm calling you today on this time of war in Israel. We have a conflict that is going on forever. And sometimes we need a prayer. We need a prayer for all of us to God, to ask Him to help us through this incredible time and show us the light. And you that have been working with so many people and so many challenges, how do you think, people can overcome this kind of challenge and see the light and connect with the true self? Tell me first, what do you do so people can tell where you're coming from?
Well, I've been doing coaching, combination of career, life, health coaching. Almost full-time over 16-plus years. And a lot of times people ask, how did you get into, that type of work? And mainly came from overcoming my own personal challenges. I grew up with a visual impairment and was very nearsighted. And then had open-heart surgery back in 1990. And it was a very life-changing experience.
I bet.
In a way, I saw the light, so to speak.
Right.
And, what I gained from that became my kind of inspiration for helping other people to see. I always wanted to help people to see, but I thought initially it would be with their eyesight, but realizing that really seeing and waking up is a much deeper process.
I understand that, and sometimes going with the truth is challenging, but this is the light. People don't understand that when they choose to color paint their world or the existence of others, or doing, for example, what they do with the Jewish people. They decided to paint the Jewish people in some colors that are not nice to the others. And what happened is they're trying to create some kind of hostility. But I'm telling you, this time the world can see better. This time it's transparent. This time the lies are so, so obvious. And it's hard. It's hard to sometimes to face the day when you see all those pictures, that some of them are camouflaged. And you're saying, how people can choose truth, the lies. What can we do to bring them along to realize that there is only one way, and it's God's way, truth, accepting others, respecting the world we are living in.
Well, they have to get beyond the idea of that, in a way, that we're separate, that we are one, that we are one with God, that we are all a unique expression of God. And getting to a level of courage where they can at least have the courage to look to create a vision for a better world, but also to have the courage to look at where are they really stuck in their consciousness. And, unfortunately, a lot of people are stuck in, kind of a lower level of consciousness of either, pride, anger, fear, guilt, shame, blaming others, and they don't necessarily know how to get to that higher level because they've been in this kind of spell or dream for so long that unless you really step back and look at it, things remain the same.
Absolutely.
And we have to challenge some of the, long-held beliefs that we hold that are keeping things this way. And it's like you're saying, the more we shine the light on things, the more things are revealed. And, it's kind of like you go into a room of darkness, you shine the light, then it's no longer dark. But until we don't, you know, if we don't bring the light to look within ourselves and find, so that's my belief, that the light of God is in everyone. But unfortunately, you know, life can often condition us to, you know, cover that over, or we lose sight of that. And that's, you know, part of my work is to help people to really see themselves in the best light, but even more so to find that light of God within.
Exactly. But, you know, there is a problem with facing this challenge that I'm talking about, is the fact that they think that whoever doesn't respect, you know, in by their religion, of course. I'm not imagining this. It's written in their books saying if you're not a believer of their faith, you're infidel, you're not supposed to be. And everybody has the right to eliminate anybody else that is not of the same belief. And it's something that we have to really shake up from existence, the reality that, you know, they don't accept any other religion. And right now, whatever they're doing with the Christian, they are converting them to Islam, and they're forcing them in their countries, just give you a perspective that it's not about the Jews, it's about the Judeo-Christian in general. And we have a billion Christian to stand for this, and they should. But, you know, the church doesn't say a word, and we don't hear people, you know, outraged by this. But the fact of the matter, if you understand that the religions call anybody else infidel, and they don't accept this, and today, you know, they're asking, you know, the leader of the Hamas organization, would you accept the Jewish state? He said, no, we won't. And nothing you can do about it to change it. No Arabs will accept Jewish state because they cannot accept another God. That's why they think that England is going to go back to them. France is going to become one of their caliphate. And, of course, Spain, you know, that's for sure. And they belong there. That's what they think. So this war that we're starting here, like we're fighting the little Hamas organization, it's actually the global war on against religions, you know, obscurity or for religious freedom. That's our deal here. And, you know, belief is something that is so basic in human being, and it's so hard to get to that core of understanding. How can we tell them that God created us equal, God loves us all, we're all children of God, we have to face each other and shake, you know, hands and say, this is God's will, that's who we are, we need to be a part of it. What do you think?
Well, it's what is their view of God, and what do they believe God's view is of them, and how do they view themselves? And, you know, I've seen that, you know, kind of here. I'm here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and, you know, there's, like, concern over, you know, are people really engaged? And it's like, well, if they can't answer those questions or they don't answer those questions, then you can't just try to get them to do something, you know, until people have a dialogue about that and really understand that, they're not getting to that deeper level of what that means, what that looks like.
And we really don't know how to get to that level. Just imagine, in most of those countries, 15% of the population, the women population, are not allowed to speak, or most of them, let's say, not, you know,
yeah.
Let's not generalize everything. But, you
but
know,
why is that?
They're old school. So why is that? Oh, That's a good question, Thomas.
Yeah.
It's actually a very excellent. Why in this world they don't have rights? Women's rights is something that we've been fighting. Trust us, we only got in America.
Well, doesn't it come back to control and controlling and keeping people oppressed?
Right.
You know, I mean, whether it's different cultures, or it's You know, we see it in corporations here in America. It's everywhere. It's like, well, we want to keep people at a certain level. We want to keep them in the dark, in a sense, instead of empowering them and shifting to. I've been really looking at this, that, you know, really shifting from aspiring to an inspiring life, which is about empowering people, encouraging people to be their best and making it possible.
God, I wish many people could have the chance to speak to you and get empowered by you, because your work is excellent. You're helping so many people over the bridge, as we say, you know, for those incredible moments in life where they need a guide and a shepherd to go and take them through the waters to the safe haven, you know, where their heart and soul is connected and their vision of life is clear. And seeing the light is not just a cliche, it's actually right. Enlightenment. And we come from two different religions. We have different belief about worship, but we love God together all the same. And we, Tom, you know how we feel about God and how important it is for us to share this idea that God is one for all of us.
Yes.
Once we empower our existence with a real belief of what miracle is life is, we can actually come before Him, and with repentance, we need to ask forgiveness. We have to start clearing our act. We need to work hard. It's not easy. Stay with us, Tom. Let's go for a break.
7 facts about Operation Protective Edge. For years, Hamas terrorists operating from the Gaza Strip have been firing rockets at Israeli civilians with the goal of murdering and terrorizing men, women, and children trying to go about their daily lives. In the last 2 weeks alone, over 2,000 rockets have been fired by Hamas into Israeli cities and towns. Once the warning sirens go off, millions of Israeli civilians have 60 seconds or less to reach bomb shelters. Hamas terrorists commit a double war crime, intentionally targeting Israeli civilians and using Palestinian civilians as human shields. Their tactics include storing weapons and launching rockets from homes, schools, and mosques while ordering Palestinian civilians to remain at these terror sites. In contrast, Israel goes to great lengths and takes unprecedented steps to avoid civilian casualties, even when those civilians are offering shelter to terrorists. Israel agreed to the ceasefire offers by Egypt, the UN, and the Red Cross. Hamas rejected all three offers and continued firing at Israel. Hamas terrorists have dug underground cross-border terror tunnels in order to infiltrate into Israel and attack civilians. Since the beginning of Operation Protective Edge, Israel has discovered more than 20 such tunnels. Israel will not allow the Hamas to terrorize and threaten millions of civilians with terror tunnels and lethal rockets. No other country in the world would allow it either.
And that was it. That moment when we realized that the world is going wild, people are shooting, kids are in the middle. We need to defend ourselves, and we feel so guilty about that. But there is no other way. There is no other way. And we're trying to keep them safe. We're trying to remove them from to shelters. And they are threatened by their goons that are holding them hostage. I think it's time for the Palestinian exodus from their kidnappers. Because it's time for them to see that the leadership that was given to them are not their leadership. They are people who have no mercy, no love, no kindness for them, for the loved one, for the children that they buried. Israel doesn't want to shoot in the holiday of the Muslim in respect because we love God, and they use it, they use the time to shoot their own, so they would create some kind of scenario where Israel looks bad. My goodness, they resort to every argument that they can. Thomas, are you with us?
I am still here.
Thank God for you. I'm saying this is a really difficult time, and the show really reflects how much struggle. We had other people that we wanted to get on the show, and some challenges of the moment gave us the opportunity to speak with you and with Ellen, which is kind enough to share her view, and she really feels the pressure that the world is sensing, you know, from outside of Israel. And being a Jew, it's not easy. Now you understand the dilemma that we have, and to be right, you know, sometimes the moral value are so important, and we need to create an understanding that we have the obligation to act right before God. So tell me, what do you think is something that we should consider? Because they're shooting us. We have 7 million people under threat. 2,000 missile was shot. We were lucky because we created the Iron Dome, but some people got hurt. But, you know, the danger is immense. Israel needs to defend itself. Now we have kids in the midst. What shall we do?
Well, certainly a challenge when people are shooting at you. And defending yourself is a normal response. I got to a point where it's like a lot of people, you know, they didn't get to where they don't want to hear the news because it's depressing or brings them down or whatever. And I just got to a point, it's like, well, if you're, you know, going to drag you down, that's one thing, but it also becomes an opportunity to create something positive, you know. And I know from just my own personal experience, it's like, you know, at the time I was going through, you know, challenges, it was, it was very difficult. But ultimately, being able to see the opportunity in that adversity, I turned it into my university for learning and ultimately creating a vision for prosperity. And I mean, that's a challenge in this world is that we do need more light. We need people to be stronger in that regard. And the more challenging it gets, the stronger we need that light. And I think, you know, the majority of people in this world just want to live in peace and love each other. But we unfortunately have a few, a small percentage, that like to wreak havoc.
Right. And that's what we have to face. We have to face the knowledge. And I just call upon all those good people to create a circle of power that we can share our knowledge, that we are fighting for the light, that we are fighting for good, love, and happiness. And it's not something that it's unreachable. It's reachable. It doesn't depend on money. It depends on the state of mind. And as long as we, you know, control the negative stuff that influence our lives, we can overcome it. It's the challenge. Today, for example, this show has been such an incredible challenge. But every time I get more challenge, I know that I'm doing the right thing, because I mean that I'm standing for what is important. It's not easy. It's not going to be given to you easy, but it's important because it's going to be that the results will be awesome. We're going to have fun, and we're going to create it. Thank you so much, Thomas, for being on my show. I love you so much. I appreciate that, and I'll call you back, that's for sure, for another time. Thank you so much, and I know we have a little left from our show. Let's put some music so we can salute you with love, happiness, and glory of God. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being there. I appreciate you all. And we are back with a very, very special guest. We have Mr. Meir Habib, who is a parliament member from France, who's visiting Jerusalem right now, and we are very honored to have you, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. So I know that you're coming from France, and in France is busy as incredible war emerging in Israel. What do you feel about the situation? This is a story that, you know, influenced everybody.
Frankly speaking, I'm very worried about the situation in France. For France, for my country, and also for the Jewish community generally in France. Because when you listen 70 years after the Shoah, in the street of Paris, the city was have been born, mort aux Juifs, dies to the Jew, and Hitler was right, and so on, and people attack shops which belong to Jews, you can only worry. And I'm not only worried for the Jews, I'm very worried for France. And well, in all over the world, people don't open eye and don't understand that what happened in Israel is not a question of any territory. It's a question of existence of any state, of any religion, except extremist, radical jihadist state in that area. When you see that you had only in Syria almost 2,100 people which have indeed gathered in the total silent of all the world, when you see what happened in Iraq, when they kill, they go in church, they burn church, they build Christian, which disperse totally from Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, and almost from Egypt, if now we have a new situation, how the old world don't understand that Israel is standing in the front line. And in my country, France, we try to explain to the people, because that's true that the picture are very difficult to see when you see children and it's arrived, because you know that the Hamas politics is to put children and women on the top, and they are in Qatar in 5-star hotel or in underground. I hope that you understand my English, which is not very good. I'm forgetting.
Of course, we understand. It's very, very clear, because the situation is so difficult to comprehend when they're putting children on the line and they're hiding behind them. And we feel that they are forcing them. You know, the children don't want, they want to go play. And for some reason, the world are saying, you know, let Hamas be. And we have to say no to Hamas anymore, no terror anymore. We need to finish the war on terror. It's about time. And what happened to France? France used to be such a leader in the world. You know,
I want to be very honest. I belong to opposition. You know, I'm not from the party of Mr. Hollande and his prime minister, Mr. Valls. But I have to say that in that crisis, they are quite good, and they have quite a good good word, and they act, and they understand the right of Israel to defend himself, which is not totally the case of the foreign minister, Laurent Fabius, who said different language. It's quite bizarre. But the foreign minister is much more ceasefire, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say you that. But like, I'm quite disappointed about the politics of the United States, which is the biggest country in the world. But unfortunately, United States failed when in his politics in Egypt, because when they put off Mubarak, and we see what that we had brother the Frères Musulmans, Brotherhood, which are much more extremist. And I see that they feel also in Syria, when President Hollande want to agree with the President Obama to make some special strikes on the at the end of the story, and I have
he
a special.
Was the first.
Yeah, but, you know, I have a discussion with the President Hollande, and he told me on the last we agree with the President Obama on the withdrawal, and now same in Iraq, and same in Iran. I'm very worried about Iran on nuclearization. So where are the United States if you allow it to same as that to my friend? We love America, which is the biggest country in the world, because America, and I was there with the President Obama, and with Putin, with Hollande in the D-Day around 1 month ago, when we celebrate 70 years of the D-Days in Normandy. But today, we feel, and I'm very frank, I'm very sorry, but I'm frank, that the United States become a little bit more weak, you know. We have the same value, which is liberté, égalité, fraternité. And that's the main value, and everybody can be Christian or Muslim or Jew, or anything in the world, it's the same. It's a question, we have the same values. And we have to understand that Israel is the front line. But when you push always in Israel to be more and more concession, not to understand the exact situation in Gaza Strip when you have a terrorism, like Al-Qaeda, that's exactly the same. And after that Israel agreed 4 times to the ceasefire, to the maximum 3 weeks under the bomb or no reacting. We was expecting, I am a member of French Parliament, so I was expecting from the biggest country of the world, which is the United States, to give more support to, even we have still support to those values.
Let me address this, because I think that the American position in this crisis it's not different from others. Actually, she's really trying to keep the other side cool and calm. You see, sometimes when those goons and those dogs start barking, really, for America to go and make them shut and calm, it's normal, because she knows that Israel will be here and do the job. They protect, you know, her right to defend herself, and the world actually second that. We just need to understand that this is a global war on terror.
Absolutely.
Israel is the front line.
That is the point. And as a member of French Parliament, that we fight, you know, that the French, our troops are today in Mali against the fundamentalism Islamic. When you see what happened in Nigeria with Boko Haram,
right,
which kill on every, not in Africa, or when you see what happened everywhere in the world, today, unfortunately, and it's not the majority of the Muslim, because the majority of the Muslim population is not extremist. We are speaking about only the jihadists. It is a minority, but we only see this minority. And we have, in order to continue to live, we have in 21st century, the time of internet, of the flight, on the peace, not of war religion, which arrived few centuries ago. And unfortunately, that's what happened. So we have to be strong and to make a good evaluation of the situation. And I think that the Israeli people are in the front line.
Doing the right thing. But you know, France usually used to have a public position on the global situation, because right now we have the Ukraine's crisis with Russia,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Ukraine crisis are the one that, you know, create the danger of a world war, because the Ukrainians are not giving up. The Russians are rallying the troops. If you get more Russian on the border with Ukraine, you're going to have to start defending them soon. What France is doing now, I'm not sure, because we cannot hear. Your European Union is really silent. And
no, in France concerning Ukraine, you know, I think that the position is a little bit different. You know, it's also a very complicated situation in Ukraine. I'm not a specialist about Ukraine, but it's not white and black. It's a little bit complicated, and It's very long conflict, there's very big errors, and we have to find solutions, a peaceful solution. If not, as you mentioned, we risk to go to a world war, which would be terrific. Many people in Ukraine want to be Russian, to stay Russian. That's a fact. But today you have borders, and today we have this complicated. So I think it's not easy. You know, that conflict is also another conflict, but we hope, we know that Russia anyway and Ukraine are not going to make like extreme of radicalism, which has no limit in war. You know, when you bomb the 11th of September, the Twin Tower in New York, even in any movie you can imagine something like that. That's totally crazy. So the war in Ukraine is a kind of regular war or Cold War, but not, we are not speaking about apocalypse. But what is different is the jihadist war, that there are no limits. They kill between Sunni and Shiite only in Syria 200,000 people in 2 years. Where are the strikes all over the world? Where are the world? The Fabius minister tell us in the Foreign Commission affair a few weeks ago that in Iraq they was playing soccer with how do you say it in English, head of dead people.
We understand the image.
Yeah, unfortunately. So please, my request as member of Parliament of France to my country and to all Europe country and to the free country like your one is to open the eye. To open the eye in order to avoid, you remember what the agreement of Munich before the Second World. The target of Munich agreement was to don't have war. And we get war, and we get a shame, and we get everything, because they want to avoid in any price the war. But because they made mistakes, and you know what happened there, and we got million and million on the Shoah and so on after the Second World War. So today the world has to be open the eye, to stay humanist, to try to find a solution, because the Palestinian people are not responsible of the crazy people which are Hamas on their head, which are the terrific people, and to try to solve, but not in condemnation of a state which defends itself as any country in the world. And it's not hundreds or thousands of kilometers, like, for example, when we in France are in Mali, or you in the United States was in Vietnam, or in Afghanistan, or in Iraq, which is thousands and thousands of kilometers of your borders. It's a few hundred meters of their borders. So it's a question of life. They fight for their children, for their baby, for their wife. People have to understand that.
Now, we have one concern that we, we hear that the Iranian called the Egyptian today and asked them to take care of the refugees from Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
By all means, sir, you know, you're a member of Parliament of the French people. We're calling on you not to let it happen, because if the Iranian put their hands on the Palestinian and move them to Iran, for God forbid, you don't know what's going to be end of them. You know,
you're 100% right. And, you know, my biggest worry today is that Iran will be nuclear, because it's not a small Gaza. It will be an apocalypse. Because believe me, if Iran become nuclear, they will use this bomb today, tomorrow, on the day after tomorrow, but one day. It should be in 50 years, in 5 years, or in 5 weeks, I don't know.
Right.
So we have to avoid of a jihadist regime to have a nuclear bomb to save the world, not to save Israel, not to save France, to save the world. And what we are expecting from the biggest country in the world, which is the United States, is to arrive to that solution, that which, say, by the way, the President of the United States under the former ones, that Iran will be non-nuclear. So, but unfortunately, we think, and I think, that today Iran will play with the West and all our countries. And at the end of the story, I am afraid, very afraid, exactly as North of Korea. Remember a few years ago concerning North Korea. And today, everybody of us knows that North Korea is nuclear.
Right.
Okay, so I'm afraid that it will be the same.
I know, and we are really hopeful that we can find a solution. And if we unite this time, the world of, you know, the good side will have to unite and decide to overcome and not give the any terrorists a place to stay, not safe haven, and no money for terrorists.
Absolutely, madam.
What kind of idea is to sponsor them, give them? And United Nations, sir, the United Nations, UNRWA, gave back the missile to the terrorists.
Absolutely.
And they committed a war crime by giving a terrorist collaboration with terrorist organizations.
Okay, when I'm listening to you, I become a friend with the journalists, because believe me that many, many journalists in Europe don't understand what you understand.
Sir, I appreciate that comment very
thank
much.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Madam. Thank you very
you,
much.
Sir.
It was a pleasure to speak
you.
With you. I'm sorry for my English.
It's
bye-bye.
An honor. God bless
thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You
God
so
bless
much.
You, too. Bye-bye, madam.
Thank
bye.
You so much.